The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio in Cherokee and Paige Godden of the Indianola Tribune and Record Herald. Nikki, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
My first question is, now that we have a new first woman governor, and I bet you're glad to be part of Iowa history, tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, obviously, she is governor of Iowa because Branstad is now our ambassador to Beijing. And everybody's got to be proud of that, even though we maybe regret losing a good governor. But we know that we've got somebody that's ready to pick up where he left off and carry on and with her own agenda. And the reason I speak so positively about her governorship and taking over from Branstad, even though he's been governor for 22 years, she's been at his side for 6.5 years, and those 6.5 years does two things. It really prepares her for the governorship, and secondly, we've had good administration under Governor Branstad, and we'll continue to have that good administration under Governor Reynolds.
I know you recently co-authored a bill dealing with biodiesel tax credit reform, and I was wondering where you're at with that bill and what that means for Iowa farmers.
Yeah, it's one of about 30 tax legislation that has sunset, and it's going to have to be reauthorized. So it's really in two parts. One, the reauthorization of the biodiesel tax credit to incentivize a infant industry getting started. But that's not really the part that you're asking about. It also has some reform in it. You know, most of the biodiesel used in the United States is produced locally here in our country. But also, we import some, particularly from Argentina, almost 1 billion gallons. So when we have a dollar credit to incentivize domestic production and we import from Argentina, that importation also gets $1 tax credit. Well, we should not be subsidizing our competition. And Argentina is our competition, and we're wasting $1 billion of American taxpayer money. So this reform just does away with the dollar credit on imported biodiesel, saving the taxpayers money and making sure that we have fair competition for our domestic producers.
Now, you and Senator Al Franken have recently reintroduced legislation that could correct a Supreme Court ruling made for family farmers to reorganize their finances. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, sure. We passed legislation called Chapter 12 bankruptcy. So when a farmer is in trouble and reorganizing, a lot of times their capital is invested in their land. So if they want to stay farming, they may have to sell part of their land. But if the IRS has the authority to step in and collect taxes on their capital gains, they may not have enough money to reorganize and stay in the business of farming. So we thought, and I want to emphasize, we thought we passed a very good piece of legislation saying IRS wasn't going to stand first in line to get its money to stop a farmer from reorganizing if he was in financial trouble. Well, guess what? We got the bill passed, signed by the president. It was law. A case went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that it wasn't passed in a proper way and consequently then was not. So what Franken and I are doing are going back and saying to the Supreme Court, you got it wrong. We're going to pass a bill in the right way, although we thought we did in the first place, and make sure the IRS can't stop farmers from reorganizing if they have to sell some of their land and they have capital gains on that land.
Senator, according to a news release from your office, it's estimated taxpayers overpaid by $1.27 billion for EpiPens. I was wondering if there's anything you can do to stop something like this happening again in the future.
Well, I don't think Congress should have to do anything. It's a case of CMS, and they notified Mylan that they weren't classifying their EpiPen in the right way so that we would get enough of a rebate, and CMS knew it, and Mylan was violating the law, but CMS was not enforcing the law against Mylan the way they should, and Mylan just went ahead and did what they wanted to do, even though it was against the law. And at one time, we thought it was guessed that it was about $400 million. Now we find out it's $1.2 billion, and just a lot of money. And so we don't have to pass more legislation. We got to get that money collected from Mylan. But we also got to get the Center for Medicare Services to make sure that they enforce the law. In other words, they told Mylan how to classify the law. And then Mylan didn't classify the law, or, I mean, classify their drug. And when they didn't classify it right, CMS just let them get away with it. So it's not a case of passing more law. It's a case of collecting the money and making sure CMS enforces the law. And for me, you don't have to pass more law. What I got to do, and I've done it already, is do my oversight work to make sure, as a check on the executive branch of government, which Congress is, to make sure that Congress, or to make sure the executive branch does what the law says. And I hope exposing it and embarrassing it will get things straightened around.
Senator, in a recent release that you had just had on your website, the U.S. Marshals who solicited the prostitutes while on detail in Mexico, could you tell us about that and what's next?
Yeah, this is a never-ending story about not just the Marshals Service. That's the latest. We found it with the Drug Enforcement Administration. We found it with the FBI, and there may be other law enforcement people doing what, when they're on the job, they shouldn't be doing. And in regard to soliciting prostitution, a lot of times we have found over the history of our country that a lot of that involves people hooking people into embarrassing situations to get national security information out of them. Now, I'm not charging that in this particular case, but it's just wrong when you're on duty to be soliciting prostitution, even if you're in another country.
Is there anything that people should be on the watch for this summer that might really affect Iowa, or something that's happening now that maybe you haven't seen in the news a lot that you want to talk about?
Well, I think you've probably seen this in the news, but it's easy to forget something that's in the news periodically. Right now, with the health insurance companies leaving Iowa, there's 70,000 Iowans who are entitled to some subsidy under Obamacare, and there won't be any insurance company in the at least for 94 of the 99 counties, no insurance company in the exchange for them to go to. So what people, those 70,000 people, ought to be expecting Congress to pass some legislation to make sure that they can get health insurance for 2018. And that's something I'm working on right now as we repeal and replace Obamacare.
Thank you, Nikki and Paige, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.